So in both our second reading in the gospel, we heard of miracles. And miracles are given to us to point to a greater reality. So in today's gospel, the miracle of these huge hauls of fish weren't given to the disciples so they could go sell all their fish and make more money. They were given to them so they could see something greater about Jesus Christ. And Simon Peter gets it and realizes that he needs to repent because he is in the presence of this wonderful, holy man. Now, there are some who will say, well, you know, these biblical miracles happened 2,000 years ago, you know, or the people back then weren't very scientific, so, you know, we can't really know too much about these miracles. But I think today, science helps us to understand the miracles that are around us. One of the miracles in particular may have become so mundane that we forget that it is miraculous. That miracle we see every morning when we brush our teeth and we look into the mirror. And here's why I say that. In 1960, Carl Sagan and a bunch of his scientist buddies got together and they formed this group called SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. They were going to find ET finally and bring him home. And back then they said, well, here it is. There are two conditions that we need in order for there to be life. You have to have a certain type of star and a planet a certain distance away from this star. So they said, because of this, 0.001 of all the stars in the universe should have a planet that could support life. So based upon this premise, they went in search of, looking for life. Now, there's 1 billion trillion stars. 1 billion trillion, yes, I had to look it up, is a one followed by 21 zeros in the observable universe, which means there could be as many as 1 quintillion planets with life on it. I looked that up as well. It goes million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion. So that's one followed by 18 zeros. So that's the number of planets that are out there that could support life based upon the two criteria that SETI gave us in the 1960s. But the 1960s was a long time ago. Since then, we've done a lot of research. We've done a lot of searching. We put the Hubble telescope up in the 1990s. The Hubble telescope allows us to see 10 to 15 billion light years away. And we've searched and searched and searched, and we found nothing, not even Elvis sitting on a planet up there waiting for us to come and find him. But the more we look into science, the more we start to see, there's something kind of miraculous looking at us in the mirror every morning when we brush our teeth. Because it seems that the fact that there's life just in general is a miracle. And I'd like to go through some of the reasons why. Let's start with the formation of our Earth. 4.25 billion years ago, a Mars-sized mass slammed into the Earth. Now, the Earth was different. It wasn't as hard today. We were still kind of gas and molting around, all those fun things. Well, what happened was when this collision happened, it blasted off the old atmosphere and gave us a new atmosphere. That's a very good thing because the old atmosphere was 40 times thicker than our atmosphere today. So if we still had that atmosphere, sunlight would not get through our atmosphere, and we would have no life on our planet. Now, you might just think, well, you know, things smash into each other all the time. But for order for this atmospheric change to happen, scientists tell us that the collision was so precise, it would be as if you took two rifles, put them on either side of the Grand Canyon, 25 miles apart, and shot two bullets at each other. And they hit so perfectly that they just came together and dropped straight down. Lucky shot? Miracle? So the collision absorbed most of the matter between the Earth and this Mars shape together, but some of it splattered out there and started circling around. Eventually would become our moon. Now, our moon has some wonderful properties to it. I can't give you them all because it's a Super Bowl we got to go to later, but let me give you one or two. You laugh, but there's a lot of people here who normally come to 5:30 tonight. I know who you are. I know who you are. Thank you for coming earlier, all right? There are no seats. I was going to say there's seats. Okay, let's talk about our moon. Now, if the moon were larger or closer, the gravitational pull would be much different. We're right here in Benicia. There's a beautiful marina down here. I know a bunch of sailors in here. You're all crazy. Sharks eat us. Why would you go in the ocean? Anyway, if the Earth were larger or closer, it would have a stronger gravitational pull on us. And we could have 100-foot waves crashing into our shores every single day. If the moon were further away or smaller, then we'd have less gravitational pull. We would have very little or no waves crashing. Well, the waves help churn everything up. It cleans our ocean. It also puts oxygen back into our water. So if we had a smaller or further away moon, no oxygen in our water, no life on Earth. Let's go back to our Earth, and we look at it, and we see if our Earth were slightly larger, it would have a greater gravitational pull. Well, that would mean that gases such as methane and ammonia wouldn't be able to disperse into the upper atmosphere. They would be kept closer to the ground, where we live. We cannot live in a methane or ammonia-rich environment. It would choke out life. On the other side, if the Earth were a little bit smaller, then water vapor would go up into the atmosphere and never fall back down again. Talk about a drought for 4 billion years, right? We would have no water, no water, no life. Now, the margin of error is very small because the molecular weight of methane is 16, the molecular weight of ammonia is 17, and the molecular weight of water is 18. We're talking a real tiny small margin of error. If we didn't have that, no water or too much poisonous gases, and therefore, again, no life. Water itself has an interesting property. If it didn't, we wouldn't be here. As a gas goes to a liquid and a liquid goes to a solid, it becomes more and more and more dense. So solid should sink. Take a rock, drop it in the water, it goes down. But boats float. Big boats, huge boats float. Well, Archimedes' principle, it has to do with the displacement. If you displace more water than your volume, you float. Well, because of that, water has a very interesting property. As water goes from vapor to a liquid and it starts to get colder and colder and colder, it does become more dense till it hits 39.2 degrees. At 32.9 degrees and less, it starts to expand. The way the molecules work is there's two V's and they come together and they go like this and they push each other apart. And in pushing each other apart, they expand. So ice expands. Ice will then float on water. If that didn't happen, ice would sink to the bottom, and our oceans would freeze from the bottom up. There would be no water, well, there'd be just no liquid water on our planet eventually. And if there's no liquid water, there is no life on our planet. Let's look at one more, the rotation of the Earth. Spins around, gives us these wonderful waves, currents, air currents. Well, we know from time to time that we get hurricanes. One of the strongest was Hurricane Patricia in 2015. And this hurricane clocked winds at 200, sustained winds, at 200 miles an hour. And we all know when winds that strong come through, it devastates everything in its path. But let's look at Jupiter. Its rotation is so fast that it has 1,000 mile an hour winds upon it. So if our Earth were to spin a little bit faster, we'd have a lot bigger storms that would just devastate everything that gets in its path. Now, there's about 150 fine-tuned characteristics, I give about a half dozen of them, that make it possible for life to be here on Earth. So over the years, the SETI project kept looking and looking and looking and couldn't find Elvis, no matter where they looked in our galaxy, or Bambi, or Thumper, or any of the other things running around out there. But we started to see, we got to rethink our position here. There are not just two characteristics, there's 150 characteristics that allows life to be here on planet Earth. This means the odds of a planet like ours supporting life is 10 to the 73rd power. That's a 10 followed by 73 zeros. I don't know, that's a gazillion. I don't know what it is, right? But the number of known planets in the universe is 10 to the 23rd power, right? Two-thirds less than what should be there. So there is a miracle looking at us right now. Turn to your left. Turn to your right. There's a miracle looking at you right now. The miracle of life. We should not be here. Scientifically, statistically, we should not be here. Father Michael Hurley, in his talk on the Summa the other night, was talking about creation. And God's just not, you know, some people say God wound up the watch and let it go and I'm going to go on a vacation. But that's not what we believe. We believe God is intimately involved in our lives. God keeps everything going together. 150 fine-tuned characteristics have to come together for us to be sitting here. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave his disciples lots of fish. He walked on water. He quieted the storms. He rose from the dead. Did all these wonderful things to say, hey, guys, there's something more to me than just this human nature. I am God walking among you. Well, today we have a beautiful miracle looking us right in the face, the miracle of life. So take some time today and think about that. I'm here. I should not be here. Statistically, scientifically, I should not be here, yet I am, because God created me, God sustains me, and God wants to redeem me into eternal life.